renewal of that. And it just, and there's no greater feeling than that. You can't find anything that'll satisfy your soul any more than that touch of the Holy Ghost working in your life. We all need that. I tell people a lot of times when they're trying to get the Holy Ghost, you know, they'll get all choked up, broke up, maybe like they've never been before. I tell them, let that go. You need that. You need that brokenness. You need to get the old man. Get all that broke up. Let the Holy Ghost begin to work and flood your life and your soul and your heart, your inner being. Let it work in you. And you'll come away from that feeling life, the life of God. You'll feel encouraged. Faith arise up in your heart. I remember, and when you come to the body of Christ, you'll feel something you never felt before. It's different than just a touch of God, the touch of salvation, the feeling of sins being lifted off. It's different than that. It's a deeper, richer experience in God to get have a touch where He's, you know, something has been revealed to me. God has opened my mind and He's quickened me and He's let me to know that He's working on something in this earth and He's given me the opportunity to be a part of it. That's, there is no higher calling. That's the high calling. This is a high calling to be a part of the very center of what God's working on. Restoring His church. Making up His bride. That's our message. It's a bride message. It's not a message of, you know, being saved from your past sins. We're trying to get you saved from your future sins. We're trying to get you to overcome the old man. Root and branch. Get him out. Pluck him up and get him, get rid of him. Hallelujah. We was talking about going back in the garden this morning in Bible study, but and you've got to go back in the garden. We've got to get back in that place that God created man in that place. There's somewhere the curse is going to be lifted. That don't mean that you're an overcomer yet, but you've got to get back there to overcome. There's a place in God that we have got to find that. We've got the power to live above sin. And there's a judgment seat. Every man must stand before the judgment seat that he can be judged for all the works that's in his life. That is, there's got to be a place where God can not just reveal to you what the body of Christ is, but what's going on in your life. God can reveal to you things in your life and give you the power to overcome it, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You've got to have God's help to do that. Here's where you get that help. Let me tell you something. This is no measly place to be. This is no place to fiddle around with. This is a place that ought to be... I think somebody told me not long ago that they heard Sister Crow tell somebody, this is your life. You are to be here whenever we have church. You are to be here. This is what God has called you to. You know, I realize there are exceptions, but the foremost thing in our heart ought to be our dedication to serve Him. And to not, in fact, we read that scripture. Let me read it again in Hebrews 10. I want to back up a scripture or two before in Hebrews 10, 26, but I want to back up to the 23rd verse where he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Evidently, they had trouble back there where some people wasn't faithful in church. They just didn't, you know, if they had something else they wanted to do, or, you know, it was, you know, something is more, they thought more important. Let me tell you something, there ain't nothing any more important than your salvation. There's nothing more important than your walk with God. And that's what he said, seek me first and my righteousness. And all these things, where you're going to be clothed, what you're going to be, what, you know, what, where you go, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live. He said, all these things will be added. They're automatic as long as you keep me first. When you get it turned around, you can bank on this. If God loves you, He will bring havoc to that kind of thing. If God loves you, He'll put up with that for a while, and then He'll jerk the rug out from under you and say, start all over. You have forgot where you came from. See, if now, God don't do that. I used to have trouble with that. Because I used to be around people and have friends, and I'd watch their life, and God never judged them. He beat the stuffings out of me, but He wouldn't do nothing to them. Well, they weren't His children. He just let the devil do that, whoever he is in your mind. But if God loves you, if God loves you, you can't go around Him, under Him, or over Him. And the quicker people learn that, you see, because if God loves you, you can't move forward without God, but you can't do anything without Him. If God loves you, He'll hinder you. He'll mess up your playhouse if He loves you. If you get to going too far without God, you can't even make up your mind. You can't say, I'm going to be a millionaire. Jesus said that. He said, you can't add one stature to yourself. You can't do nothing except what God's going to let you do. If you're His child, He loves you, He'll lead you and He'll guide you, and He'll make something out of you, and you'll be happy about it. Because when you learn how to fit into His will, you're anything more happy. I can tell you young people this. Take my experience. Take my testimony and don't go through the battle scars that I had to go through to get it. There was a time Sister Smith and I owned two Porsches, two Lincoln Continentals, a house with a big swimming pool, and we weren't hurting for money. But we was the most miserable people on the face of the earth. My wife stood when it was raining one day looking out one of the sliding glass doors. There was a sliding glass door in every bedroom and three on the other, in every room in the house. And it wasn't a mansion, but it was, you know, it was all right. And she had tears running down her face. She said, is this all there is to life? See, things won't make you happy. Having money won't make you happy. Being success in business won't make you happy. It's only the peace of God. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Thank God. God loved me enough to jerk the rug out from underneath me, and I had to start all over again and get Him back on the front burner. When I did, I found peace. I found joy. We may have other things may not have been going good, but my soul was satisfied. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So you've come to something, saints. God has brought you to a place. And you might say, well, Brother Smith, I don't know if I have all this revelation you're talking about. Just keep coming and ask God for it. Ask God. He won't, if you ask Him, what's that scripture? If you ask Him for fish, He's not going to give you a serpent. He's not going to give you, He'll give you what you're asking for. If you're asking for something right, ask Him for a revelation of His body, what He's doing in the earth. I'm telling you, these truths, the things that y'all hear are absolute jawbreakers in theology. Y'all are hearing truths that the world don't know anything about. They're just about all they have is Jesus came and died on a cross And if I'll repent to Him, He'll forgive me of my sins. And I've got a hope for heaven. And they may hear other things in the Bible, but these rich, these truths that brings a surety to the understanding of life and the Word of God, the ways of God. They've been broke down in here. And God is still restoring His church. He's still adding to His body. He's still going to judge this world. And it's not bad. Judgment's not bad. It's good. You know, as long as you're living a dedicated life, you're not suffering under God's judgment. You may realize He's judging me, but you'll like His judgment. You'll say, I love what God's doing for me because He's showing me things that He's helping me to know how to correct in my life. And He's bringing judgments to me, but He's giving me the tools to answer those judgments and to overcome the wrong and do the right. Back up to the 5th chapter of Hebrews, in the last verse, 14, it said, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Even when you come to a full age in God, you may not be perfect yet, but you've got to grow up to a full age of maturity to where you can eat the strong meat that will give you discernment to separate the good from the bad, to realize, you know, the way you should be walking, the things you should be standing against, and the things that you should be standing for. And so the Lord has brought us, the song says He's brought us a long, long way. Hallelujah. Remember from where you came from. Remember the joy, the zeal that you got when God added you to this. Keep that alive. Ask God to reignite it from time to time. And you know, you can get in a habit. You can get in a habit of doing the same thing over and over and staying in the same rut. Somebody said that's what a grave is. It's a rut with both ends knocked out of it. You need to, you know, but you'll have to, and if you're not careful, you'll get in a rut of doing the same thing and staying in the same condition that you're in. You can be in church and you can not get out of a rut that's keeping you, the flesh and carnality is continuing to bog you down. Do you know God can help you out of that? You'll have to be willing to make some changes. You'll have to be willing to do something different tomorrow morning. But you can do it with God's help. You can start saying, God, what do I need to do? Show me, help me to know how to change. And God can give you the direction. A lot of times people know what it is. They just don't, you know, it's hard to put it into practice. Just ask Him. He'll help you. Praise God. It's good to, appreciate the Lord here today. This good Spirit of God that came in here on us. Amen. So I'm going to back up from here and make room for others, but I just love the Lord today. I love this vision of the body of Jesus Christ. When I found this, I quit searching. I had no feeling or need that I felt like I found my mother. I don't have to keep hunting for anything else. I found something that satisfies my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's good to be here today.
Since I found the body of Christ, life's worth living. body of Christ, life's worth living. Now I have a hope worth striving for. Since I found the people of God, my life has never been the same.
Oh, I'm so
thankful to be in His precious name. Since I found the body of Christ, life's worth living. Now I have a hope worth striving for. Since I found the people of God,
all my life has
never been the same.
Oh, I'm so
thankful to be in His precious name.
Folks, I feel like I'm in the body of Christ today. Thank the Lord. There's a special spirit and feeling that goes with the body of Christ. Amen. So I feel like it was worth the 5-hour drive to be here. Thank the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I didn't have to ride on a mule to get here today. But we wouldn't have got here in time. But the Lord has been good. I've found the body of Christ back in 1980, and I've strived to stay in the body of Christ all this time. I got saved in an Assembly of God church, if you don't mind me saying so, but I had a tremendous conversion experience, and I thought, man, I had it all when I got converted. You know, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I soaked those tears. There had several steps that come up to the platform, and I soaked those steps with my tears of repentance and pouring my heart out to the Lord. He dealt with me for 11 months after I had received a severe injury in shop class in high school, my senior year. I was 18 years old and working on a piece of machinery, holding this piece of steel, and it was a faulty piece of equipment, and that thing grabbed that metal out of my hand, and it ricocheted off the wall and hit the top of that wheel and threw it right back in my face and shattered the mask that I was wearing, the face shield, just shattered it, and it never did find all the pieces of that face shield. And it was amazing that the doctor found all the pieces to my upper jaw because it just shattered. And I remember putting my head down in my hands, and I could feel that something wasn't right on the inside anymore. And I've never been in a position, I've never been in that kind of shape before. I've had injuries growing up, and, you know, I wasn't accident prone per se, but, you know, kids growing up and you're always playing outside and rough and tumble. And I was one of seven kids, and, you know, you get banged up and bruised up sometimes and stuff. But I never had anything like that happen to me. And I remember putting my head down in my hands, and I heard a voice that I've heard many times since then, but that was the first time I heard that voice. And I believe that the Lord can speak to people even though they've never given their heart to Him yet. I mean, that's how you do that. That's how you end up giving your heart to God, is God puts His godly sorrow on you that worketh repentance. Praise the Lord. And I remember that I heard a voice say, everything's going to be all right. Let me tell you something, folks. Right now, today, everything is all right.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And so the Lord fixed it. He just worked it out. Everything, it just seemed like it worked like clockwork. Then after that, just had to do emergency surgery. And just the doctor happened to be there at the right time. And they had just got somebody out of the surgery room right when I got there. And everything worked out, Brother Tally. Just right for making a way for me to get in there and fixed me up. And 7 months later, the Lord dealt with me and dealt with me that I needed to give my heart to Him. And 7 months later, it wasn't just because I was being so hard-headed about it, but I bought this little blue Bible right here that I cherish today, and I still use it. I got other Bibles, but I always keep this one close. Yeah. And I've got all kinds of notes in it, and the pages are falling out of it. But I baby this thing, and even still, it's wearing out on me. But I bought that Bible, and I began to read it. And I had a bedroom down in the basement of our home, and I just become a recluse. I just sheltered myself down there and read my Bible all the time. I wasn't upstairs with the rest of the family. Like I said, it was seven kids, and Mom and Dad. And my grandpa lived with us at the time as well. So there was 10 people in the house, and small home. And they couldn't understand why I wasn't up there mingling with them too much anymore. But I was downstairs reading my Bible. And I was trying to learn something about God. And the Lord was dealing with me, and they didn't understand that. And then finally, a friend of mine in school that had the shop class with me, he invited me to go to his church, and I did. And I got saved that Sunday night. Thank God. Thank God. And it felt so good that the next Sunday night I did it all over again. Praise the Lord. My friend had the Holy Ghost, and I wanted it. And I said, well, what's that all about? Because I'd hear him speak in tongues. And he said, oh, it's just an added blessing. It's just another blessing from the Lord. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know about that. It's something that God is offering, I want it. You know, I want to get all of God that I can get.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. I didn't understand very much at the time, brother, but, you know, you just want to, like Brother Smith was saying, do you remember how you felt when you first got saved, when you first found the body? Well, I remember those times. Yes, the answer is yes, I do remember. Praise the Lord, and those were exciting times. Praise the Lord, and I still get excited when I think about it. Praise the Lord, that's how it should be, shouldn't it? It just never gets old hat, like you said. It doesn't wear out, but you just keep building on it and building on it. Amen, and it's just getting, the Holy Ghost doesn't get gray-headed. And I've got a little gray, brother. Brother Roy Durham, he told me earlier, he said, man, you look just like you used to when I first met you, except you got a little more gray hair. We wear out. Our bodies wear out after a while, don't they? But the Holy Ghost never wears out. It never gets old.
That's right.
And those experiences, when you relieve those in your mind, praise the Lord, it's exciting.
Yes.
And I thought about that about 7 months later. I finally received the Holy Ghost in one of their youth camps that they had. And the Lord made a way for me to go there. It was a minister that got up that night and he said, I'm going to talk tonight about the Holy Ghost. And I thought, man, I'm in the right place because that's what I want. Hallelujah. And my faith was building. Oh, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Because I'd gone up for prayer many times before that trying to get the Holy Ghost. And I felt like it just wasn't for me to get at the time. I heard a voice in my mind that was saying, not yet, not yet. And I tried and tried to get it. But he made a way for me. I went to that youth meeting and that minister here, he got up. And you know what? He said some things that I needed to hear. And because there were certain doubts in my mind that I wasn't aware of. And when he began to speak and he touched on those points, that it opened my mind. It released more faith into my heart in order to receive that gift. And that's what we just read about a while ago, the scripture about how if a child asks for a fish, or a loaf of bread, of course you're going to give it to them. A good parent would give them those things. But how much more, the Bible says, will the Lord give you the gift of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Amen. And that's that great gift that God has afforded us because His Son was willing to die on the cross.
Yes.
Amen. And redeem man. And that's that part of that redemption is receiving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've got to have the same spirit. Brother Smith has also said that, given us that scripture, that you've got to have the Spirit of God. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, how can you worship Him in spirit unless you have that same spirit that Christ had? So finally, after he got done, he said, how many wants to receive the Holy Ghost? And my hand went straight up in the air. And they formed two lines of people, ministers and people who work, helping out in the ministry and such. They formed two lines, and then they had everybody who wanted to receive the Holy Ghost walk between down the middle, and they would lay their hands on you and pray as you walk through there. And I've heard people ahead of me and behind me getting the Holy Ghost, and I walked all the way through that line, and I didn't get it. Brother Talley, I heard a voice in my head again. And it said, you're not going to get it again. You tried many of these other times and you didn't get it. And you're not going to get it tonight. But, because of what that minister had got up and said, came back to my mind. And that was the little boost that I needed to get passed on through that doubt. And I said, no, Lord, I'll be willing to do anything that you want me to do. Anything. And that's what I had to come to, Brother Philip. I had to get to that point that I'd be willing to be humiliated, that if the Lord wanted me to fall out on the floor, that I'd be willing to do it in front of people, because I was always a shy person, Brother Roy, and I was always afraid that people would look at me, but I had to get past that. And so when the Lord seen my heart and seen I was willing to do anything to get the Holy Ghost, I began to speak in tongues. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, I hadn't quit speaking in tongues ever since. About every day when I pray, I find myself praying through. And I'll tell you what, it'll keep you.
Yes, it will.
Amen. Because the Lord loves you. And He gives it to you for a reason. That it will keep us. Yes. Through all the trials and tests that we go through in this life.
Yes.
That God wants us to be saved, folks. Yes. And it takes a process of time. It takes a lot of heat and a lot of pressure to turn you into a precious stone, a diamond. That's what it takes. It takes, we're carbonated life forms. And that's what our body's made out of. That's what they take. You take coal, it's carbon-based. And you put it under extreme heat and pressure for a long time. Brother Roy, you know what that turns into. It turns into a beautiful diamond.
Yes, it does.
And God is trying to make up his jewels.
Yes,
and that's the process that he takes us through. And so we understand that. That's what's taught in the body of Christ. I've learned these things since the Lord has brought me in and began to open my mind. And I realize that the Holy Ghost isn't just an added blessing for the Lord. No, that's our very life. That's our life. That's what we need. That's what keeps our connection between earth and heaven.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And that new man, that inner man. Amen. That God is creating on the inside.
Yes, amen.
And that's part of that first resurrection. That second death hath no power over those who have part in the first resurrection. First resurrection is the day that you receive the Holy Ghost until the day that you lay this body down in death. Amen. And that process of time that it takes for that Holy Ghost to cleanse all of the impurities out of our life, all the carnality, that it's no longer I, that Paul said, but it's Christ within me. Amen. And so when that Holy Ghost returns back to the Father, that it'll take your soul with it. Amen. I want to get to that point, don't you? That's my hope. That's the hope that God has planted within me from the messages that I've heard in this body of people. And so I appreciate the body of Christ. I thank the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we have to make tough decisions to be a part of this body. Amen. It's not the easiest way. If you want to go the easy path, then you're in the wrong place. But this is a place for those who are sincere, those who are dedicated. And if you're not sincere and dedicated, you can be sincere and dedicated. You can stick around long enough, and you can let this Spirit get a hold of you. You know, there's people here that truly love God. And I always say, attach yourself to people that are good examples.
Yeah.
Amen. Because like Brother Smith said, that'll rub off on you. Yes. Amen. You get close enough to people, and you know, when you get to having close friends in school, after a while, it's just like he said, you begin to emulate, and you act kind of like each other. It's like the Three Stooges sometimes. When you get a bunch of guys together, though, they act like the Three Stooges sometimes, but they all kind of act goofy. If you hang around somebody who acts that way, you start acting that way. And you get around somebody who acts a little sensible, then, you know, if you're going to hang around very long, then you're expected to act a little more sensible.
Yes.
And there are things that are expected from God's people in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And there's a high standard. Yes. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about, there's several scriptures in the Bible that talks about the Word of God. And I've posed this question recently to some people about what is the Word of God? And the Word of God, somebody said, well, that's just what God said. Well, yeah, that's true. But the Bible, you know, does give an explanation of what the Word of God is. In one place it talks about, is that in, let me see here. I'm not going to spend much time. I know we probably don't have much. I don't have a watch on me. But in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. And we've heard many scriptures in the Bible referring to the sword as being the Word. We kind of throw that around. That's part of the terminology in the body of Christ. And really, the body does have terminology. And once you learn the code words, I guess you could say, that it begins to be more understandable when a minister gets up and begins to speak about overcoming. And then I was thinking about in Genesis, where it says that the cherubim was set in the way of the garden to keep man from going to the tree of life, lest he should partake of it and live. And that cherubim, he had flaming sword to turn every direction. And we have not been able for 4,000 years, man has not been able to pass through the flaming swords. And until Jesus had come on the scene and became that sacrifice. And it said that when he had died on the cross, they said the veil of the temple was rent in two.
Yeah.
You remember reading that? And that was symbolic because man was not able to go through the veil before that time. And that veil was a veil going into the picture in the days of Moses with the tabernacle in the wilderness. And they said, and they had to press on through that veil to get into the holy place. And that was a type of second heaven. That is a condition. That just like Brother Smith was saying about the paradise, being in the paradise of God, that's a condition. That's not just a geographical location of Adam and Eve, but that was a state or a condition or relationship between them and God. And that relationship was broken because of Adam's fall. And Jesus came to reestablish that relationship with his Father. And when that veil was rent in two, Jesus had made a way for us to reestablish that same spirit that Adam was created with, that he had lost, man was able to receive again on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. And enter into that holy place once more. Thank the Lord for that. That's how important it is to receive the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand that when I received it, but thank God I've learned these things and how special and important it is to know that. Amen, because there's a purpose behind it. Why did he do that? Why is it important for us to receive that same spirit? Well, it's ultimately to cause us to be an overcomer. Amen. So we someday can be with him. And so he's provided a way for us, hasn't he? And the Word of God being that flaming sword, the Word of God being a two-edged sword, I've studied this, I've looked at it, and I've got several scriptures, but I will not go over them right now. But I've come to the conclusion that the two-edged sword is the judgments and the commandments of God. That's really what the Word of God is consisted of, isn't it? It's commandments. God has given us commandments. These aren't really suggestions, but these are things that God has given us as instructions to live on a daily basis, how we should conduct ourselves, the attitude that we should have towards Him, towards His people. And so those are commandments that we are given to live by and we're expected to live by. And then God comes along periodically and gives judgment on that. And judgment, like Brother Smith, quoting, referring to him, he said so many good things here, but that judgment isn't always bad. Judgment doesn't mean that you're going to have wrath on you, but there is righteous judgment as well. And so we want righteous judgment, don't we? If we're found doing things that are right in the sight of God, then there's righteous judgment that comes our way. And we're rewarded for those things. And that's the position that I like to find myself in God today. So I appreciate being in a good place here among you people in Little Rock, Arkansas. God bless you all. And God bless this church and keep on. And I see you've got a tremendous amount of young people here. And my kids just love to fellowship with y'all because they're young people too. And I just like, we've always tried to have them. We never approved of friends from school that didn't have certain values we required. And, you know, our children, it's never been an issue. They'd even come and tell us as they were growing up, said, Mom, Dad, said, we don't want to hang around so-and-so too much anymore because they said something that we didn't like or they did something that we didn't care for that's against God. You know, they've always had a heart. And thank God, that makes parenting a little bit easier. You know that? I thank God for that. Amen. And so to try to have a heart for the Lord and try to make it easy on God as much as possible. Praise God. Thank the Lord.
Thank you.
It's been a good day, hasn't it? Let's ask the Lord to bless the dinner and our fellowship downstairs. Brother McGowan, dinner band practice today at 4 o'clock. Starter band practice at 3. How many got in the new starter band? 11 last Sunday. So we're excited about that. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness. Your great grace and mercy, O Lord. Bless our food and our time of fellowship, Lord. O God, in this service tonight, Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. All right. Make room for the seniors to get down first and get to their table.